AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. It has been a busy week in the markets, and there's a lot of movement on policy issues, new recommendations for COVID vaccines, and there's more coming this afternoon with the cattle on feed and the quarterly hogs and pigs report, and maybe even some proposed RVOs.
Live from the apex of the Ag News Week via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, it's our Friday free-for-all. Panelists Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, and Representative Cindy Axne. At the bottom of the hour, a quick visit with Dr. Francis Collins, Director of the National Institutes of Health. And right after the news, Jennifer Scheich from Farm Journal's Pork. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Rory.
Are you sure you didn't merge like 3 or 4 days worth of what we're doing into that open?
I think what they did was they made it a 2-hour show and just didn't tell us, because there's no way we can get all this in, is there?
Well, hey, you know, that's fine with me. That's fine with me if we want to do that. Wow, we got a lot to do. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. That newsman is Davis Michelson.
Hello. Yes.
Yeah, yes. Man.
I'm catching my breath after reading all of that. And you know what? There's absolutely so much going on. There's no way we can hit it all, dude.
No. And Wiesmeyer, who's already on the line and getting ready to go, he's all fired up, has been hitting me with updates all morning on things.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely crazy. I'll give you this one.
Okay.
Even before we get to the news, because this is news, but it just happened. I don't think you've probably got it in your news, Davis, but
okay.
This is according to the Wall Street Journal. The U.S. Justice Department has reached a deal that will allow Huawei finance chief Meng Wanzhou, if I got that right?
Wang Zhu. Okay. Something like that.
To return to her home in China nearly 3 years after she was detained in Canada on behalf of the U.S. to face wire and bank fraud charges. That a person familiar with the matter has said that. So we will. That's fair. According to the Wall Street Journal. We'll get into that coming up here in just a little bit.
I got one, too, that didn't make it into the news. This from Reuters on Friday. The China's state planner urged state oil majors to strictly fulfill gas supply contracts to fertilizer makers, while power companies in other provinces should prioritize electricity supply to fertilizer production. We're watching this fertilizer supply. So basically what that is, they're diverting resources away from electricity generation to producing fertilizer.
Crazy. Crazy. Okay. It's just, I have no idea how that whole thing is going to play out.
And it's worldwide, bro. It's all over
worldwide.
Europe. It's Brazil.
The thing.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, let's get to the rest of the news. What you got?
Let's do. U.S. and European economies slowed in September as supply chain bottlenecks and worries over the Delta variant weighed on businesses. Adding to signs the global economy is experiencing a soft patch. Forecasting firm IHS Markit said its index measuring U.S. business activity fell to the lowest level in a year, and its Eurozone index dropped to a 5-month low. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer on Thursday morning announced the Senate, House, and White House reached a deal on a framework to pay for the huge human infrastructure spending package they hope to pass this fall under budget reconciliation, saying, quote, the revenue side of this we have agreement on. Schumer announced that at a joint press conference with Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen.
Right. We'll talk a lot about that in the show today. Yeah.
The Senate will hold a cloture vote on Monday on a House-passed bill to keep federal agencies open until December 3. The cloture vote is almost certain to fail. The House bill passed Wednesday night on a party-line vote includes language suspending the debt limit until December 2022. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and most of his GOP colleagues are opposed to such a move.
Jim's got this bottom line for us. We'll get to the bottom line and Jim's prediction on what's going to happen later in the show.
Chinese regulators have warned Evergrande to avoid a near-term default on dollar bonds. The developer had an $83.5 million coupon due Thursday. Chip, that's a face value of $2.03 billion with a B. Right. They had a 30-day grace period to make that payment. A missed payment would set the stage for what could be the largest ever dollar bond default by a company in Asia.
I just don't think it's going to happen, but we've got to watch it. Yeah.
Political tensions between China and Australia have upended Australian exports of some products, including wine, barley, coal, and beef to China. But Beijing has remained a strong buyer of Australian wheat, speaking to its need for that grain.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. China is showing up more and more as showing interest in U.S. wheat. I don't know if there's been any significant purchases, but I know that they're sniffing around the market.
And we'll get more on this coming up, but with EPA expected to soon issue its proposed levels for biofuels under the renewable fuel standard, perhaps as soon as today, a coalition of farm and biofuel groups called on the White House to intervene and pull EPA, quote, back from the brink of reducing biofuel mandates. The groups concluded by calling on President Biden to ensure the EPA avoids a mistake that could undermine the Biden-Harris administration's relationship with farmers.
Right. And there's going to be a letter sent from lawmakers to the White House as well. Just don't know exactly when it's going to happen. We'll get an update from Representative Axne.
We're going to go lightning round here. Senator Chuck Grassley, the nation's oldest senator at 88, has announced his plans to run for re-election. The House Thursday overwhelmingly passed a bill to replenish Israel's Iron Dome missile defense system just 2 days after it was pulled from a government funding package over objections from progressive lawmakers. Delta Airlines calls for a national no-fly list of unruly passengers. And U.S. Special Envoy for Haiti resigned in protest over the Biden administration's large-scale deportations of the thousands of Haitian migrants arriving at the southern border.
Yep. It's all news that we've got to get to in the free-for-all. It's crazy. Okay. Thank you so much, Davis. Let's bring in Jennifer Shike, the editor of Farm Journal's Pork. How are you, Jennifer?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, good, good. You've got a story on someone that is trying to get to a carbon neutral hog. Tell us about it.
Well, this is a fun story to be able to share. There's a new movie out called The Carbon Neutral Pig, and it's a short docudrama that stars Marlo Ivy, who's a 36-year-old fourth-generation pig farmer, talking about her life and her struggles being a pork producer. And so, you know, she admits it's not all rosy out there, but she is very passionate about what she does, and she's very dedicated to making sure that she leaves her farm in a better place than it was left to her, so that her daughter can take it over someday if she has that desire. And so she talks about some of the things that they're doing to try to become a carbon neutral farm, from capturing methane gas and different manure handling practices and you know, using that manure on the crop ground and so forth. And so it's the second of a series that's been put out by the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers in Action Group, and it's also supported by the North Carolina Pork Council.
Yeah, yeah. And she talks about her motivation for doing it. And I think that's kind of a peek into the decision-making process on why somebody would be pushing to get to a carbon neutral. That's where the real insight comes in, doesn't it?
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely about that desire to leave it better for her. For her daughter, and so that it's there in the future. And I think people don't always see that motivation when they are on the farm, and they don't know
what it's
like.
There you go. That's the point that I was trying to make, and you just made it for me. Thank you. Thank you for doing that, Jennifer. All right. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good.
You bet. That is Jennifer Shike. She is the editor of Farm Journal's Pork. We're going to get the free-for-all rolling next. Representative Axne joins us.
All right, here's how this goes. You want to know stuff. We know smart people. Problem solved. AgriTalk.
That's good.
You like that one?
I do. Oh, well, listen to this. You want to change? Well, shut your mouth. Stop this spinning. Get off this. DJ CA must be back in the house.
Up in the house.
I love it. I love it. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis. And hello. I got a feeling that Representative Cindy Axne had something to do with that bump right there. Representative Axne, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me. And that's right. If you want to change the world, shut your mouth and just get busy. That's what I'm trying to do.
Love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Let's get the rest of the free-for-all team in here. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jeff.
Dude, you've been busy this morning.
Very busy. Bottom lining things. What's going to happen next week where the Congresswoman may be able to help us out.
Yeah, absolutely. Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. Welcome, Sean.
Hey, it's great to be here. Chip, looking forward to the conversation. A lot of topics to cover.
Yes, we certainly do. And I want to get things started with the reconciliation bill, Representative Axne, because it includes $1 billion for biofuels. And if I saw correctly, your fingerprints are all over that piece of the bill, correct?
Absolutely. I could not be more excited about this. This doubles the amount that I originally introduced in my legislation, the Renewable Fuels Infrastructure Investment and Market Expansion Act. So we're getting $1 billion for biofuels infrastructure, which we know will equate to increases for our ethanol producers and our farmers and money in their pockets right away. So I'm so pleased that this is in our agenda, and the work that I've been doing literally from hounding everybody about biofuels in my caucus to handing out informational letters is finally paying off. And the fact that everybody knows I never stop talking about this, I think they're just getting tired of it, maybe. And they're just like, give the woman what she wants.
Good for you. Good for you. I love that. Now, even with that included, as I understand it, until you see the full bill, you have not made your final decision on whether or not you're going to vote for the reconciliation bill, correct?
Well, that's correct, because here's the deal. That's just how I operate. I want to make sure that the whole package looks good for Iowa. Obviously, the biofuels piece is huge for us, but I absolutely need to make sure that there's some other key pieces in there. I feel real comfortable that we're going to get those. I've been fighting hard for those, and they're moving in the right direction. Child care and biofuels are the two I want to see in this. We got our broadband in the other piece, and if we can get this all together, which I know we're going to make happen, I'll be thrilled. But I never like to make a commitment till I see the final text.
Yeah. Jim?
On this issue?
Yeah, on any issue. It's a free-for-all, Wiesmeyer.
Well, I want to ask the Congresswoman, the rumors are rampant that EPA is going to announce the mandated levels for the RFS yet this afternoon. Is that what you're hearing? If not, when do you expect it?
Well, listen, I am not hearing that, but as you well know, this is unacceptable. When I first heard the concerns about the lowering these RVOs in July, that's when immediately I went with Representative Craig and Representative Bustos straight to the Administrator Regan at EPA to tell him how important it was to have these strong RVOs. So, listen, if these reports that we're seeing are accurate and there are going to be upcoming proposal cuts to volumes, then the EPA is truly putting big oil interests above clean-burning biofuels. That's plain and simple. So we're not expecting this to show up as this afternoon, but I'll tell you what, I'm there, and whenever the timing is, I've made it perfectly clear to those in the White House who clearly aren't as committed as the president is to biofuels that it would be a clear breach of trust for folks like me and people from our state.
If EPA isn't intending to do this, where are these reports coming from? Where are the rumors starting? Any ideas, guys? Oh, none.
None.
Wow. I mean,
it could be positioning by the industry.
Reuters is reporting it like it's fact.
Yeah.
We've seen that before, Chip. I'm forgetting which issue it was on biofuels, but there was, this has happened before where things are put out there for, like Jim said, for positioning, for the maybe possibly some trial ballooning, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh no, that wasn't exactly what wrong report.
Right.
So
although Secretary Vilsack on AgriTalk earlier this week, Chip, kind of signaled a little of this when he said the pandemic impacted U.S. fuel demand. And then he talked about forthcoming aid to the biofuel industry. Now, some people are reading into that.
Right, right. And, he basically laid it out and said, listen, real use in 2020 was X, therefore the 2020 needs to be reduced to what was actually used. Well, the problem with that is that it dumps a whole bunch of RINs on, and it takes incentive to blend out of the market today. So, what's the status of the letter that's coming from your friends and other biofuel supporters, Representative Axne? What's the status on that?
Yep. So on Monday, I'm leading a letter to the White House and National Climate Advisor Gina McCarthy, expressing obviously significant concerns over this. And you know, here's the deal: not only is this just the right thing to do for us, but I hope she understands, as you know, the advisor for climate, that we could be addressing climate right now by extending biofuels. So this would be a step in the wrong direction for doing that. So we're going to get this letter out. We already are collecting signatures on that, and that's going to be coming. We still have plenty of time here, folks, but we're moving quickly to address this.
Okay. And if they do, if the levels are cut from what they should be, there's a public comment period on this then, right, Jim?
Yes. And sometimes they can change. We'll have to wait. I always like to wait on this until it's official. But I do want to ask, the Congresswoman, shouldn't there be a different process of releasing this market-sensitive EPA decision? Because this happens all the time. It got into the RIN market earlier this week, and I know you can't stop rumors, but I know EPA in the past has advised that this is coming. It should be trued up, don't you think?
Listen, I couldn't agree with you more. And you referenced earlier, I wanted to say, pandemic or not, the RFS has been law for years. It's the law. Let's just do it. I don't care if the pandemic came. We've got a law to follow. And so, to your point, listen, I wish I could say that we never have anything get out ahead of us, that we never have rumors fly. That's not the case. Half my job here is battling things that aren't true, that people come up to me and say, this is happening. I'll never, I love all the people who've come up about stepped up basis while I've been taking the lead on that. And they're like, it's going through. And I'm like, it's really not. And obviously, it's not. So, these things fly around all the time. You got to take it all with a grain of salt.
Okay. Another thing in the reconciliation package, $400 million for loan relief for rural borrowers. What are some of the details on that?
Yeah, well, listen, our rural borrowers did not receive the same opportunity for our urban folks who got the PPP loans, right, during pandemic, or as we continue to go through. But anyhow, they took out USDA loans. There should be no reason that they don't get the same relief that other folks got by getting the PPP loans. Just because it comes through the USDA doesn't mean that they had an easier time. And so we're giving them, 6 months of relief on their loan payments, to make sure that we, create equity between rural businesses and urban businesses.
Gotcha. Okay. Another item in there, $18 billion in job promoting investments that will be administered through USDA. That's a big number.
Listen, we are absolutely putting together a bill that is about working Americans. That's it. This bill is for working class Americans. All of us, the folks that are listening right now, and that's what we're trying to do. And you're right, these are big numbers. Why? Because we've got to start turning things around where we're working. What we're doing out here in Washington is for working families across this country and not just for the wealthiest. So it's time that we do put support behind these multiple policies that help our farmers, that help our communities, that help our small businesses, that help economic development in small towns. It's time to start leveling the playing field. So we are going big and bold to make that happen, because I'm getting real tired of the Jeff Bezos of the world, building their rockets while we're trying to make sure that we're keeping ends together in towns like Stanton in my district.
Gotcha. Okay. Only 30 seconds left, literally 30 seconds. What else is on your priority list?
Listen, I got a lot of things on my priority list. Thrilled to see the derecho aid coming through and the continuing resolution. Yep. Fought hard to make that happen and add that to WIP Plus. You know, we had 850,000 acres of crops that were unable to be harvested, so this is helping us with that. And, you know, I'm going to continue to push for these key elements for Iowa. They make sense not just for our state, but for this country. If we support rural, we'll get there. I wanted to let you know one last thing. I am now co-chairs with Representative Sherry Bustos. We established the Rural Reinvestment Task Force, and we are actively working on policy to push up to leadership that benefits rural
Excellent.
America.
Excellent. Thank you, Cindy.
On your farm, achieving better yields is always the goal. But replacing current equipment with new isn't always an option. Bring new life and new technology to your current equipment with a John Deere Performance Upgrade Kit. It all starts at your local John Deere dealer. Schedule an inspection today to see how a customizable Performance Upgrade Kit from John Deere can unlock the potential of your existing equipment. Search John Deere Performance Upgrade Kit to learn more.
With Farmers Business Network, there is no need to compromise on your seed decisions. Shop FBN Direct for true quality seed that won't eat into your bottom line. Head to fbn.com/plant for seed guides and to get the lowdown on the full selection of corn, soybean, sorghum, and more. Quality seed, honest prices, no compromise. That's what you'll get with Farmers Business Network and FBN Direct. Visit fbn.com/plant today.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Beach, not a lot of activity in corn or soybeans this morning.
No, but there is activity in wheat. Wheat was trading to the downside, and now it's pushed higher again, and SRW contracts are leading it. So, you know, wheat is the little engine that could this week, and,
yeah,
and
it is.
Trying to pull corn up. It's got it off the lows, but still trading about a penny lower. And the soybean market now is trading with a mixed to mostly firmer tone. Soy oil leading that up, trading with moderate gains in the soy oil market here mid-morning.
Yep. Big day for livestock. We get the cattle on feed report this afternoon, and we get the quarterly hogs and pigs report.
Yeah, and both of those should be reminders that the feedlot inventory is shrinking compared to a year ago, and that the hog herd is also smaller than a year ago. So we'll see where those numbers all fall in place and how much market impact that has next Monday. You know, that for now, price action is relatively quiet in both of those markets. A little bit of a weaker tone in live cattle futures, mixed to mostly lower in feeder cattle. And the hog market's showing just a slightly weaker tone as well.
You know, big week next week for the grains. We get the quarterly grain stocks report on Thursday next week, right?
It seems like it's always a shocker, Chip, and especially on the corn side of things. So that's what we need to be careful with. Now, we also get the final wheat crop estimates for 2021. And, you know, I think that the spring wheat acreage number probably needs to be reduced. That USDA was just going with too high of an estimate there and not enough abandonment.
Gotcha. Thanks, Brian. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week. Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I am your host, Chip Laurie. It is a free-for-all. We've got a big thanks to Representative Cindy Axne for joining us in the last segment. Really appreciate her time and her thoughts and insights. We've got Jim Wiesmeyer with us, Sean Haney, Davis Michelson, and joining us right
Hello.
Now is Dr. Francis Collins. He is the director of the National Institutes of Health. Dr. Collins, welcome to AgriTalk.
Hey, glad to join you. I'll be trying to be part of the signal and not the noise.
Hey, I love that. Good stuff. Good stuff. Dr. Collins, there's an update on the booster shot for those that have received the Pfizer vaccination. What's the bottom line?
A bottom line, as of early this morning when the CDC director made the final decision, if you're somebody who got the Pfizer vaccine and it's been 6 months or more since you got that initial pair of doses, and you're 65 or older, or if you're younger than that and have medical conditions like diabetes or hypertension, or if you're somebody who's at risk for exposure because you're a healthcare provider or a teacher, you are now eligible to get a booster, which we know from the data we've seen both in the U.S. and from other countries is a way to really beef up your immunity and reduce the likelihood of having a breakthrough infection. So the time is now. And there are some 50 million doses out there in pharmacies that are queued up for this purpose and ready to go. So as soon as today, people can start getting those boosters if you're in one of those groups. Again, right now, it's only for the people who got Pfizer. The Moderna and the J&J vaccines are also being considered for boosters, and that information will probably be coming forward in the next 3 or 4 weeks. So be a little patient if you're one of those people like I am.
Okay. How important is the booster? Because we got the message early, get vaccinated. Some of us did, many didn't. But one of the reasons that I made the decision to go ahead and get vaccinated was because there was no talk of a booster shot at that time. And now it brings some confusion into my mind, Dr. Collins, over, well, how effective was the vaccination to begin with?
Yeah, no, I understand that, Chip. And the last thing we want to do is confuse people. The good news is that the vaccination you got way back is still extremely effective in keeping you from getting infected, sick enough to have to be in the hospital. But we are beginning to see some waning of that protection, and there's certainly more people getting breakthrough infections. And some of those people, although they may not get hospitalized, they may be sick for a few days and out of work. If we can prevent that by giving people just a little bit more oomph in their immune system with the booster, then why not do so? Because we know it's safe. So, yeah, it is really important to emphasize the original vaccines have been remarkably successful. But if they're starting to get a little tired in terms of their effect, and we can actually give you back the full effect, maybe even better than what you had before with this booster, why not?
Okay. Okay. Jim, any questions?
Will the need for a booster shot eventually be part of Biden's requirement for government employees to get the vaccines? And second, why not exempt people who've had COVID because of natural immunity?
Yeah, those are two great questions. At the present time, there is no discussion at all about having the booster become mandated. Basically, some businesses and the federal government are mandating that you get the initial vaccine, and I'm supportive of that because it saves lives, but not expecting that the booster will become required. It's optional at the present time and probably will remain so. And for people who did have naturally occurring COVID, you still benefit from getting vaccine on top of that. If you've just had the disease itself, you can get it again, and you can even get it fairly significantly. We have that data. So it's still a good idea to go ahead with the vaccination. You know, though, I do want to say one other thing, and you started out with this, Chip. We're talking a lot about the boosters because that was the decision this week. But the big need in this country now to save lives, and we've lost 670,000 people to this disease, is for the 70 million people who still aren't vaccinated, haven't even gotten that first shot, to decide this is the time to do that. Because those are the people who are now in the ICUs and sadly in the morgue because that Delta variant is out there looking for you if you're not vaccinated. These vaccines now have been in arms for more than a year, starting with the original trials. no matter what you read or hear in terms of rumors, they're incredibly safe and incredibly effective. There's really no reason not to take advantage of this way of protecting yourself and your family. And you're also protecting the people around you by not becoming the person who spreads the virus. So it's a love your neighbor moment as well as taking care of yourself.
Find that a lot of people really focus on the, well, I've already had COVID, so I don't need to worry about it. Or, you know, even if I get the vaccine, I'm still spreading it. So really it's of no benefit. Hear that a lot from the audience. What do you say to those two statements?
You know, two great questions. So if you've had COVID before, first of all, you need to be sure you had it, because this disease doesn't always behave the way you think it would. And some people think they had it and really had something else. But if you did really have it, it was proven, yeah, you have some immunity from that, but you can still get it again. It is not as protective as it would be as if you also got vaccinated. By vaccinating, a big study in Kentucky that was just done, you increase your resistance of getting sick again by almost threefold if you put the vaccine on top of that natural infection. So why not do that? And yeah, in terms of, I'm sorry, I forgot your second question already.
Those that are vaccinated can still pass on.
Oh, right. Yeah. They can, although they're much less likely to. It's possible to do that, but you're about 10 times less likely to carry the virus and spread it to other people. The fact that it's not impossible means that we still have to be careful if we're vaccinated about who we're next to and about wearing masks in indoor places. It greatly reduces that risk, though. It's not just like it's no difference. So all that data is out there, and I know it's complicated. The science of this changes from day to day and from week to week. All of us, like myself, are just trying to do the best job we can to get that information into recommendations. But I know those are complicated, and they do seem to change. But that is because the science changes, too. If you were asking your stockbroker to make a recommendation about what to buy and what to sell, and they changed from one week to the next, you'd probably be grateful because they looked at the data. Well, same thing's happening with public health. Sometimes we have to change the recommendations because we learn more things about this virus, especially since Delta showed up.
Yeah. When does the vaccine mandate take effect? Do you have a specific date for government employees?
Yeah, November 22nd, federal employees have to at that point be fully immunized, which means they had to get started well before that to get the two doses of the Pfizer or Moderna or the one dose of J&J. So yeah, we are now, I run an organization with 45,000 federal employees and contractors, and we've let them know it's time to get started soon so that by November 22nd, you can show your evidence of full coverage.
Does that include business people who are on advisory panels, like in the Farm Service Agency at USDA? They're not government employees.
I don't think they are included. They're special government employees, but they're not federal employees, so I don't think they're required to do this.
Okay.
Gentlemen, okay. I'm going to have to jump off because I'm supposed to be doing something else, but I really appreciate the chance.
You've been very generous with your time. Thank you so much.
Nice to talk to you, Lynn. Glad to be speaking to my friends in the rural community because I grew up on a farm, too. I know something about all this.
That's excellent. Thank you so much, Dr. Collins. That is Dr. Francis Collins.
Right.
Yep, director of the National Institutes for Health. Very candid conversation. That wasn't candid at all. That was a conversation, Jim. I was impressed.
It was, and we got some news and answers that for questions we've been asked on deadline, November 22nd. And in his estimation, that does not impact those non-federal employees that say at the FSA advisory committees.
Right.
Yeah, I like the stock price comparison. That's actually a really, really good one. There's a lot of criticism of some of the science around this, and there has been, you know, really moving goalposts, which I understand a lot of the frustration. Yeah. But a lot of this has been trying to learn and study this virus in the moment, and things have changed from the beginning in terms of, you know, masks, no masks, and what you should do, shouldn't do, and can it spread by touch and all those kinds of things. So I think that was a really good comparison.
Yeah. You know, I was unsure if he would actually call in to give us the update. And the reason that I was unsure was because the CDC board yesterday put out one set of recommendations, and then the CDC director, Walensky, if I got that right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Broadened that list basically on her own, right, Jim?
Yes. And he apparently supported that, too.
Supported that move, absolutely, because he went straight to that expanded list, didn't just go with the CDC board on that. And the concern about the federal employees what about those that work behind the counter at FSA offices, Jim? They'll have to be vaccinated, right?
If they're federal employees, November 22nd, and we're starting to get the emails on this one. That's why I'm asking the date, because I've also heard October the 8th. He specifically said November 22nd, I shouldn't say I liked it, but on his booster shot, that for now, that's not going to be part of this requirement.
Right, right. But if there are employees out there that do not want to get the shot, it's going to be interesting to see what that does to staffing issues at FSA offices this fall. Okay, we got the short segment coming up, but we've got a lot of ground to cover on the free-for-all.
I'm Ty Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, the only weekend television show that features some of agriculture's biggest names. From custom commentary from John Phipps to the stories of antique iron with Machinery Pete to a list of more than 30 marketing analysts, our weekly program focuses on the topics that matter most to you. We invite you to join us each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
If you came across a child struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes, their age, the way they speak? Would you recognize a 13-year-old boy who gets into fights at school,
not because he's a bully, but because he's hungry?
Or a 2-year-old girl who cries all night, not because she's sick,
but because she went to bed without enough to eat?
Or maybe a 9-year-old boy who hopes a friend invites him to a sleepover,
not for fun, just so we can have dinner.
Or a 15-year-old girl who goes for walks over lunch,
so her friends won't know she doesn't have anything to eat.
I am the 1 in 7 American children who struggle with hunger. Kids you pass by every day, but never knew were hungry. I am Child Hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong.
Hey everyone, I'm Zach Johnson.
I'm Mitchell Hora.
We are both farmers and hosts of Fieldwork, which is a podcast from APM where we have honest conversations about agriculture and sustainability.
In our new season, we'll tackle all sorts of interesting topics, like how conservation will look under the Biden administration.
You'll learn a lot, and of course, we are both really, really charming.
Obviously. You can find us on the AgriTalk app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us again, Colin Pennington. He's the Community Builder Marketing Manager for Farmers Business Network. Colin, FBN still growing. It's still bringing transparency to data in the ag industry. Let's focus on the livestock products. What have livestock producers told you that they need from FBN?
You know, it's really, Chip, about bringing that same price transparency and uniform pricing approach and just ease of doing business to the livestock industry that we were able to find in the seed and crop protection market. And so it's giving farmers access to lower cost, easier to find and source options to bring them more value to their operation and make things a little bit easier and more efficient.
Wow, that's cool. So what does FBN offer the community builders as far as the livestock products go?
So as a community builder with FBN, you essentially serve as a dealer to FBN and represent the FBN products in your area. And so, you know, if you've got a strong connection with folks in the livestock industry, cow-calf operations, feedlots, dairies, swine, all of that, you can take on the FBN line of products in the livestock space and look at things like vaccines, antibiotics, dewormers, getting into the feed side, mineral balancers, lick tubs, all sorts of dry balancers and protein mineral supplements. So an opportunity to leverage, you know, the network you have and make some commission, you know, selling the products that, you know, your friends and family and local farmers need at a better cost.
Absolutely. Okay, so if I'm interested in signing up and becoming a community builder, where do I go?
You can visit fbn.com/build and fill out a quick form. Tell us where you're from, what you're interested in representing with FBN, and someone from the team will reach out and get you set up. And if you're the right fit, be able to start earning commission pretty quickly here in representing FBN in your community.
Fantastic, Colin. Thank you so much. That's Colin Pennington, Community Builder, Marketing Manager for Farmers Business Network.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Paid for by U.S. Medical Supply.
Call 800-556-9015. That's 800-556-9015. Again, 800-556-9015. That's 800-556-9015.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
All right.
I think that's the right call, Joe. We don't have time to get into my next 30 years right now. There's too much other stuff to get to.
Right.
There's just no time.
That's a perfect call. Perfect call. Welcome back. I'm Chip. That's Davis. We've got Jim Wismeyer and Sean Haney with us as well. Jim, talk to me about the continuing resolution bill. What's the status?
Here's how it's going to end. A stopgap spending bill without a debt limit suspension, because it wouldn't pass with that, Chip. But it will likely include the billions of aid for 20 and 21 ag disasters that was talked about. And on the limit suspension, what are they going to do? There'll be a scaled-back human infrastructure bill, much lower than $3.5 trillion, or the Democrats could do a separate reconciliation bill for the debt ceiling, Chip. And last one, Monday is key. A House delay from Pelosi's promised September 27th vote on traditional infrastructure unless she works another deal with her moderates.
Okay. What is in the continuing resolution that we need to focus on? Why is it so important?
Well, because the government shuts down. If we don't have the continuing resolution, it'll shut down Thursday. So that's why that's priority number one next week. And that's why you're going to see, you know, the Democrats come up with a relatively clean stopgap spending bill without the debt limit suspension, because the Republicans will not vote for that. And it's what else it includes, and hopefully it'll include that aid for 2020 and 2021 ag disasters.
Okay.
But it's going to happen. You're not going to have a shutdown of the government.
Okay. And how you sound confident when you say that the reconciliation bill isn't going to be $3.5 trillion.
It's very confident. Very confident because of Manchin, Sinema, and others. I mean, that's to me, I'm very confident of that. I just don't know the level, and neither does President Biden. He kept on asking, you know, the senators and representatives, what's your number? And no one gave it to him, but it better be a lot less than $3.5 trillion.
Wow. Okay. Huawei. Let's talk a little bit about that. Haney, what's your reaction to the news that the Justice Department has reached a deal to send the Huawei executive back to China?
Yeah, well, of course, in Canada, we follow this very, very closely. This is a deal that started under President Trump that was sort of paused and taken up again by the Biden administration, according to the Journal. She is supposedly, according to the deal, going to be going back to China. Of course, in Canada, we're watching very closely whether or not the two Michaels, as we refer to them, will be returned, as they are in cells in China. And I believe one of them has been found guilty and faced his trial already. Other things that we're watching, will China, as a result of this deal, lift the restrictions on two grain companies, Viterra and Richardson's, being able to ship raw seed into the country? Because that's been in place for over 12 months as well. So we'll see all this happening during a Canadian election, Chip. So really not sure how much influence the Canadian government had into terms of, you know, pieces of that deal. But we're following very, very closely.
Okay. We've got natural gas prices pushing to the upside again this morning, Davis. What is going on and what's the impacts?
The impacts are still developing, and I don't probably think we've seen the end of the developments here. To put it into perspective, we talked about Yara, Norway's leading fertilizer producer over there, curtailing their ammonia. They're cutting it back by roughly 40%. So almost half of their ammonia output is being cut. The British government has moved in to sort of help out a few British companies who said that they were just going to shut down two different facilities. But we've got Ukraine. We've got an Austrian company who has fingers all over Europe, pulling back on ammonia production, nitrogen production. There's the China thing where they're in desperate straits to produce fertilizers. And even Brazil is way behind on its import bookings. You know, they rely very heavily on imports of fertilizers. And I'm talking N, P, and K down in Brazil. And they are way behind where they ought to be if they're going to fill their books. So it doesn't look good.
No. Chip, I know farmers roll their eyes when they hear about, oh, there's going to be a shortage of this and a shortage of that. This situation on the 22 crop is so real. Mm-hmm. Like people are legit. Retails are scared. They can't even get prices.
Right.
Farmers have sticker shock. It's easier to stick your head in the sand and be an ostrich and hope it all works out better. But this one feels much more real.
It does. Mm-hmm. It that's exactly right. That is exactly right. Okay. Real quick, we had great conversations yesterday with Senator Bozeman, with AFBF President Zippy Duval, and with Senator Thune. If you did not catch those, guys, go to agritalk.com, go to your Agritalk app, listen to those. For the cattlemen out there, pay special attention to the conversation that we had with Senator Thune about his proposal to bring back mandatory country of origin labeling, Jim.
And his bottom line?
His bottom line is to encourage USTR Ty and USDA Secretary Vilsack to find a plan that will be WTO compliant within a year. If not, well, we just bring it back.
We just implement anyway. So it's really not like encouragement. It's sort of like implement or we're going to do it anyways. We don't care, you know, what you say to us about it being compliant.
Right.
And then the long process of, you know, Mexico and Canada being able to retaliate begins. And, you know, here we go again.
Right. But give it a listen, guys. Give it a listen. The other thing is we've got this situation in Haiti where they have found African swine fever. I'm just going to mention it briefly. And we've got thousands of Haitians under that bridge in Texas. They're going to leave garbage behind. You don't know where it originated. We've got terrible feral hog issues down there. I just, this seems like the perfect mess to see ASF introduced into the United States. It just scares the heck out of me. We need to watch this situation very closely. Great job today, you guys. Really appreciate all your efforts. Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, Davis Michelson. Shout out to Representative Cindy Axne and to Dr. Collins as well. Join us this afternoon. Mike North and I will have details of the cattle on feed and that H&P report, 206 Central.
With Farmers Business Network, there is no need to compromise on your seed decisions. Shop FBN Direct for true quality seed that won't eat into your bottom line. Head to FBN.com/plant for seed guides and to get the lowdown on the full selection of corn, soybean, sorghum, and more. Quality seed, honest prices, no compromise. That's what you'll get with Farmers Business Network and FBN Direct. Visit FBN.com/plant today.